blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this.
In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and following, we read this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? Amen. What a beautiful promise of God to us. And today, as we're going to step into our study of the Word of God today, picking up the stories of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 41 to 59. This morning, before we do that, we'd like to just take a few moments just to just center ourselves in the presence of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who is here with us. We've been worshiping Him. We've been worshiping our great and awesome God this morning. Now let's just take a few moments just to quiet our hearts so that we can really begin to hear Him speak to us today. Do you believe that God still speaks today?
Yes,
God still speaks today to us through His Word, through His Spirit, to our spirit. And so in this moment, as we quiet in our hearts, let's just listen for that still, small voice of God the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the way that your love has set us free. Free to be able to walk with you, Lord Jesus, and to be led by your Holy Spirit, and to be taught by you through your Word, through your Spirit, leading us into an understanding of your truth. And so, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we come to hear you speak through the words that I say, Lord, the words that you've said in my heart. I pray, Lord, that they would be authentic and genuine, that they would be words that not only have spoken to me, but also, Lord, will speak to your people here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that everything that you have for us today from your Word would be made clear, that you would help us, Lord, to really take in and really hear the words that you're speaking to us today. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all the good blessings that you've given to us as we follow you, as we make you the Lord of our lives. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have ever had a time in your life when you've had a severe case of indigestion, you will understand and know what it's like to have that rumbly in your tumbly feeling. Anybody ever had that experience where you've had indigestion really bad? You know, it feels like you can't keep anything down, or it's like everything feels like it's about to either come up or go out. We won't go any further. Okay, I think we've all had that experience. And you know, I had that experience. This came into a clear perspective for me. I had this experience when I was returning from India for the first time. We had been very careful when we were in India, because you have to be when you're traveling in different parts of the world. We were very careful to eat only the foods that were prepared and given to us. We were really, really careful about drinking only bottled water or filtered water. That is until we were on our way back home. We had been there for 3 weeks, had no problems, and we were on our way home. We took a 10-hour train trip to get to Delhi so we could fly back home. And we did that via Agra, because we went there to see the Taj Mahal. And it was a really great experience. But on that train trip, we had that car, the train car didn't have a food car. Didn't have the opportunity, like, we didn't have the opportunity to buy anything that had been prepared on the train, and they usually are very good at preparing the foods very carefully on the train. We didn't have an opportunity to do that. So over that 10-hour train trip, we got very hungry. And so one of our group went out onto the train platform at one of the stops, and we got some food from one of the vendors there. And wouldn't you know it, I was the only one in the group. 24 hours later, when we actually had arrived back in Canada and we were just starting to get acclimatized back in, get over the jet lag, when all of a sudden that rumbly in the tumbly came on with a vengeance. And that was the first time in my life that I had that really, really gross feeling. And I had to go to the hospital, and it was the next 3.5 days, I was just out of it, because I had picked up a little traveler with me, a Campylobacter bacteria. And they're nasty little critters. And that had to get antibiotics, everything. But, you know, there are times in our life when some of the food that we eat causes us to have a severe case of indigestion. And that rumbly in our tumbly experience. Now, at the end of, you'll see how this all relates in just a minute, okay? At the end of our last installment on our journey through the Gospel of John, Jesus made a very upsetting declaration about himself in response to the crowd's desire for him to provide them with some proof that he was the prophet that had been promised who would come, who would be like Moses. And you know, we remember what Moses did in the desert when the people were hungry. God gave him, you know, the word that manna would come down from heaven and would feed his people, and God provided that, and he provided quail, and he provided water in the desert to quench their thirst. But all the way through, the people of Israel grumbled and complained about the foods that they were eating. They had a rumbly in their tumbly all the time. And in response to their request, the people who he had just fed the day before with the feeding of the 5,000, when they found him the next day, they asked him to feed them again. And this was Jesus' response. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And Jesus, so this is what Jesus said to the crowds in response to them saying, "Show us the manna. Show us what, you know, if you are this prophet like Moses, then do what Moses did. Give us the manna. Give us the food from heaven." And Jesus, they said to him in response to what he said there, he said, "Okay then, always give us this bread. Always give us this bread." And so in response to what they were requesting from Jesus, Jesus gave them what they were asking for. They wanted the bread that would feed them and give them life. And so he said, "Okay, you want it? Here it is." Jesus declared to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And as he said these things to them, they had an immediate response. The people got spiritual indigestion. You know, it's one thing to ask for this bread that comes from heaven and to give it mental assent that this is what we really want. We know that these things will be good for us. You know, that's what the people were thinking at that point when they said, "Well, give us this bread always. Don't hold back. Give us this that comes from God." They wanted it with their head, but when Jesus was willing to give it to them, it was another thing for them to actually have a prepared heart to receive it. To receive it. And so this is what we discover as we move into this section that we're going to look at from John's gospel today. It's Jesus' response, and the first part of it is Jesus' response in John chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. This is what Jesus says to them, and this is the fuller response to their request. He said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Take a moment just to let those words from Jesus sink in. Now here Jesus is offering to the crowds the bread of life. They had asked for him to give them the bread, and now he's giving it to them. He's inviting them to take this bread from heaven. And he's outlining to them all the good qualities of this bread that will nourish them, that will feed them, that will sustain them. And guess how these people responded? Great! Wonderful! Give me more! Not quite. Not quite. They actually, these words to the people who were gathered in the synagogue at Capernaum that day, they were very upsetting. These words were very upsetting. They caused an upset stomach. It caused them spiritual indigestion. For this was a declaration by Jesus that he, in fact, was the bread of life. That he, in fact, was this bread from heaven. And immediately, the crowds were pushing back. Immediately, they just couldn't stomach this. And so they said to him, they began to grumble at him. And they said to him, "How can you say that you are the bread that comes down from heaven? Are you not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can you now say that you came down from heaven?" Immediately, their response to Jesus was, "Oh, I got a rumbling in my spiritual tummy. I can't handle this food that you're giving to me." And they resisted. They had a hard time swallowing the truth about who Jesus was claiming to be. They started grumbling. They started questioning. They started taking exception to the fact that he was declaring himself to be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, the bread of life. They took exception to that. They couldn't handle it. Now, you know, when we think about what was going on at the synagogue that day, in that synagogue service, We can be very quick to point our fingers at all these people and say, "How could you not receive? You had Jesus there. You'd seen him do all these miracles. You'd seen him do all these things. How could you refuse to accept this food that he's given to you about this teaching about the bread of life, that he was the Messiah, the one that they had longed for? How can you do that?" You know, we're quick to point our fingers at them. But don't be so quick, because I'd like you to think about a time. Actually, I'd like you, first of all, to find yourself in this story, okay? Find yourself in this story, because I'm sure that there have been times in each one of our lives when we have had some kind of spiritual indigestion about something that we have come to understand about Jesus or not understood about Jesus. Things that have maybe turned us off initially about how can this Jesus be that? And how can God be like that if this happens or that happens? And you know, we have that spiritual indigestion. We just can't handle the truth that we're being taught by a pastor, or maybe we've been reading our Bible and we come across something that goes, "That's really strange. I don't know if I can really believe that." Anybody had those kind of experiences? Oh, come on. Come on. I mean, I think that's more representative here than people are being courageous enough to say. Right? Because we've all had our doubts. We've all had our head-scratching moments. You know, what questions about Jesus or his teachings have given you spiritual indigestion? Can you think of some? Can you think of one? anybody? Anybody want to just be courageous this morning? Just to let us know. What have you had a struggle with relating to Jesus? It's okay. Shirley.
When you are a new Christian, all right, and you learn about the three in one, it's kind of difficult to get your head around.
Oh, who's ever had difficulty kind of fathoming the understanding of that God can be three in one? What does this mean? Father, Son, Holy Spirit? That's three gods, isn't it? But it's one. How do we, anybody had trouble digesting that truth at first? Okay, yeah, you can, yeah, be honest. I mean, this is what this is all about. This, we can be honest. Honest with God, honest with each other. What's something else that you've struggled with? Another teaching or authority. Okay. God's authority over our life. He's the sovereign. He can do all things. And being under the authority of God, whew, that can sometimes cause a little bit of indigestion, especially if we have a sense that God's leading us one way, like Jonah, and Jonah heads off the other direction. Right? When God is working in our life and leading us in a direction and we resist, it's a matter of authority. What are some other things? Anyone else? We haven't hit the real big one yet. Okay, how can the Bible say that Jonah was in the belly of a fish or whale or whatever it was, big fish, for 3 days? Well, you know, sometimes we go through those really dark times in our life when it feels like we're in the belly of a whale or a fish, and we're going to be up on the shore. Talk about indigestion. I'm sure the fish had indigestion. Yeah, what else? So any others, there's one that's big glaring. You know, actually it's the one that Jesus was getting to in this whole story here, this teaching that he's giving them. Anybody? It has to do with Jesus. I'll give you some hints. It has to do with Jesus.
Raising
from the dead, that's one thing. But one of the biggest things that give people indigestion, even today, have given the Jewish people indigestion all through history about Jesus is, how can Jesus be God and man at the same time? You know, the incarnation. We call it the incarnation, how God became man and dwelled among us. That gives a lot of people indigestion. Spiritual indigestion. So there are many things that can cause us to have indigestion, spiritual indigestion. Yet, you know, this whole thing about, you know, who Jesus is and what he has done for us and what that means, you know, the incarnation, God, he who was everything, who made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, being found in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And then he was raised to life and exalted to the highest place and given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, we listen to that and we go, okay, I can take it in here, but what about receiving that word in our hearts, that Jesus is who he said he was? You know, this is what's at the center of the Gospel of John. You know, this teaching that Jesus gives us today is a teaching all about who he is and what he's come to do and how he sustains us in our life. But, you know, in order to be able to really embrace this and really be able to take in this food, this food from heaven that Jesus is willing to give us, we have to overcome a couple of things. First of all, we have to overcome our indigestion. And how do we go about doing that? What do we do when we have a case of spiritual indigestion about Jesus and what he's teaching? Well, how are we to overcome the struggle to understand what we're being fed? Well, Jesus has a word for us. He had a word for the people in the synagogue that day. And this is what his word was. He basically says to them, stop grumbling. He gives them actually three prerequisites for being cured of their spiritual indigestion. These three words, it's a three-word cure. Stop, listen, and look. Stop, listen, and look. If you want to overcome your spiritual indigestion, then stop grumbling, he says. You know, the people were grumbling, and they were getting all upset, and they were fighting with each other. And Jesus basically looked at them and said, hey, you need to stop grumbling. For no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Draws him. What is he saying by that statement? He's saying stop and let go of your resistance. You know, a lot of the reasons why we have a rumbly in our tumbly about the things that Jesus is teaching us is because we've got this built-in resistance. This built-in resistance towards the things of God. And what Jesus says to the people here in the synagogue that day, he says, let go of your resistance. Be open to the drawing power of God the Father, who sent his Son Jesus to be our Redeemer, Deliverer, and Savior. You've got to be willing to let down that resistance, you know, because a lot of time the grumbling in our tumbly is because of stress. Because we're distressed, we hold stress in our stomach, and we often get that churning of the stomach, indigestion or heartburn, you know, because we're not willing to digest that food properly. We're not able to do that. So there's a lot of resistance. And so we need to let go of that resistance, Jesus said. Have a heart that is willing to yield to the work of the Spirit, the power of God, who speaks to our spirit and who woos us, who draws us towards Jesus. So stop resisting. Stop resisting. What's it going to cost you to stop resisting? Well, it could mean that your whole life changes because you've just let go of all those barriers that you've put up to Jesus. And so that's the first thing in this cure, Jesus' cure for spiritual indigestion. The second thing is to listen. To listen. Listen, he says, to what the Father has said through the prophets and through Jesus. You know, it's only when we're willing to let go of our own judgments and to hear and to learn from God that it's possible for our hearts to be drawn to Jesus and to hear the Father speaking to us, to our hearts, to our heads, to our hearts, through His Spirit. It's only as we begin to listen to God that we can begin to understand who Jesus is. That this is Jesus, God's beloved Son, who He has revealed to us, who He has given to us, and who He says Himself, the Father says, listen to Him. Listen to Him. You know, the writer of Hebrews put it this way in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. He says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. For the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. So understand this, if you're here today and you have some spiritual indigestion, even about some of the things that I'm speaking to you now, listen, if you're ever going to be cured of your spiritual indigestion, you need to have an open mind and an open heart to listen to the living word of God. And that is Jesus. And to learn from Him. And this is what Jesus said. You know, as he reflected on the prophets, He says, they will all be taught by God. And that was right from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. And He says, everyone who has heard the Father and learned from Him, everyone who has an open heart to hear what the Father is saying through the prophets, through the scriptures, comes to Me, because you will be drawn to Me. You will see who I am if you begin to listen to God's voice. And then finally, if Jesus says, if this cure is going to be effective for you to deal with your indigestion, you must first be willing to look to the one whom the Father has sent to feed you and bring you eternal life. And Jesus said to them, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is My flesh, which I give for the life of the world. You know, with these words from Jesus, John, who is the gospel writer here, is inviting all of us who hear them to take notice of what is being promised for those who are drawn to Jesus, for those who believe in His name, for those who have the courage to taste and see that He is good. For with these words, we're being invited to look to the one who is the living bread from heaven, who became flesh, and who gave His flesh, His body, and His blood for the life of the world. We just celebrated Easter. You know, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. You know, those are the high points of our Christian year. Why? Because we celebrate who Jesus is, and that he came and he laid down his life to bring life to the world. And so John is encouraging us with these words from Jesus to stop, to listen, and to look to Jesus, our Redeemer, who died for us, and by so doing, is lifting us up for the purpose of drawing us to himself, so that we might experience his eternal glory, that we might experience a transformation from death unto life, that we might have the opportunity to experience God's kingdom life here and now and forevermore. What a cure, eh? That's an amazing cure. A lot of promises in there that come from Jesus to us. But it's one thing to hear about the cure. It's an entirely other thing to actually act on it. You know, we can go to the doctor and we can get a prescription for something that's ailing our stomach. And we can go to the pharmacy and we can buy that prescription, you know, get those drugs that are going to deal with our indigestion or our heartburn. Believe me, I've been there in the past. Had to do that. You know, but it's an entirely different thing to actually begin to effect the cure by taking what is given to us. Receive it. And, you know, this was the case with when Jesus presented this cure to the people in the synagogue that day. And, you know, no matter how good the food is for us, there's one thing that we must learn from an early age. I think we all learned it from an early age. We may not remember learning it, but from an early age, we have to learn how to handle the ultimate food challenge. The ultimate food challenge. You know, when you were a little baby, when you were first learning how to eat, you know, your parents teaching you how to eat by giving you that first solid food, what did you have to learn to overcome? Anybody? No, not just the taste. What? It's something that's built into us. How do I make it go from my mouth to my stomach? Right, right. But you know what? You know what we have to overcome? We have to overcome. Oops, I don't have it there. But we have to overcome the gag reflex. You know, we have that built into us that when something goes in that we don't like, it goes, you know, we have that and we start choking. We have to overcome that gag reflex. And, you know, the same was true that day in the synagogue, because as Jesus was giving them this great food, this cure for their indigestion, what happened? Well, the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, and they started saying, how can this man give us this his flesh to eat? You know, the gag reflex kicked in. Not just indigestion, but the gag reflex. And they were resisting. They were putting up all kinds. They were literally choking on the bread of life. And they were apoplectic. And they just couldn't stomach it. They couldn't overcome the gag reflex. But Jesus encourages us, you know what? If you're going to learn to take in the bread of life, you've got to overcome this gag reflex that will keep you back from being able to digest the food. Find it, put it in your mouth, and be able to take it down and into your stomach, into your spiritual stomach. So it can nourish you. So, How do we go about overcoming the gag reflex? Well, I would say adopt the Winnie the Pooh approach. Hey, it works as a kid, right? You know the Winnie the Pooh, you know what the Winnie the Pooh approach is? When there's a rumbly in the tumbly, what is it time for? It's time for something sweet. Sweet to the taste. And you know, if we approach the Word of God as something that is sweet to the taste. Sweet to the taste. It can begin to help us to begin to take in and see that the Lord is good. And you know, this is in effect what Jesus was saying to the people as he continued to teach them about who he was and what he was offering to them, the bread of life. And so I'm inviting you today to do just that, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And how are we going to do that? Well, for the remaining time that we have this morning, before we go back into worship, we're going to take a few moments together at your table, in your table group. And I'm going to read in just a moment, I'm going to read John chapter 6, verses 53 to 58, which is on the handout sheets that are on your table. So you can take those now and you can follow along with me as I'm reading this. And you can also begin to think about the reflection questions that are there on the sheet. And once I'm finished reading this next part of what Jesus taught, I'd like you to reflect for a few moments and then begin to answer the questions and share with each other some of your thoughts about Jesus as the bread of life and what that means to you. What that means to you. And if you're at the back and you don't have a sheet, I'm sure there are a few extras on some of the tables around. But make sure you get one so that you can talk about that in a little cluster group there in the back. So let me read for you this passage. John chapter 6, verses 53 to 58. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Now, take a few moments with your table group. Just take a few moments to digest this teaching from Jesus. And really reflect on what does Jesus' invitation to eat his flesh and drink his blood mean to you? What does that mean? And then what are the life-giving benefits of taking Jesus' invitation seriously? What is Jesus offering as you receive this bread of life and take it in? What is he offering to you? What is he offering to you? Take a few moments now and discuss. You got about 10, 15 minutes. All right. Wow, looks like at the back there you had a great group. Whew! Giant group over there. Has everybody had a chance to just kind of dig into these questions here? You might not have had enough time to cover everything that you wanted to say, but what are some things that you discovered here in your groups? We'll just have a sampling. Anybody want to from these groups here? What was it that you discovered, or what was it about Jesus' invitation to eat His blood and drink His flesh and drink His blood? What does that mean? What did that mean for you in your group?
Salvation was one word that came out in communion.
Salvation and communion. Yeah, this passage kind of links to the institution of the Lord's Supper, right? Remember me in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup. Why? Because the bread is my body, which was given for you. The cup is the cup that brings us salvation in His blood. Yeah, there's a link there. Yeah, what else? What else does this mean for you? What about this group here?
First Sunday of each month.
Okay. All right, you're going to tack on to theirs. Okay. What about here? Anything that you want to share about what does this mean for you to eat His body and drink His blood? Okay, yeah, all right. I was sitting over here in this group, and Lucy came up with a great line to help us to understand this. What does it mean to eat His body and drink His blood? You are what you eat. That's brilliant, really brilliant. You know, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, when we take Jesus into our life, and He nourishes us and He fills us, and what happens? We become more like Him. So we are what we eat. And there's a lesson in that for us as well. There's a challenge in that for us. So let's at the back here, what are some of the life-giving benefits of taking Jesus' invitation or taking Jesus into us? What are some of those life-giving benefits? The big group at the back, you probably had a couple of them, maybe. Psalm 103? Okay, so there's
all your sins, heal all your disease, redeem your life from the pit, and crown you with love.
Wow, that's a checklist. All the benefits of taking Jesus into our life and digesting the bread of life. It gives us all those benefits. Anyone else? Some benefits? Maybe this table over here, Andy? Yeah, just as our physical food sustains us physically, our spiritual food that we get from Jesus, His teachings, His life, reflecting on who He is and His presence in our life, sustains us spiritually. What about at the back two tables there? Anything else that you want to add? Yeah, we're reconciled to God. We're spiritually alive because of what Jesus has given to us as that gift of eternal life.
And the back table there. Jordan.
How that we live for him and according to his purpose.
Yeah, we can live for him. We can live for him and live according to his purposes. Why? Because he has given us the bread of life. We have a whole new purpose for living. That's a benefit. A benefit. So this is amazing. This is great. And you know, as we conclude our time together in God's Word today, let us take these things that we have received from Jesus, this bread of life, and let us integrate it into our life. Let us overcome our indigestion, and let us learn how to take the food in and allow it to go past our throat, down our esophagus, into our stomach, where it will nourish and feed us and overcome that gag reflex that we have. Because Jesus, basically, with this passage, Jesus is giving us the spiritual Heimlich maneuver. So that we aren't choking anymore.
Can I ask that?
Sure. Yes, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That's really what it comes right down to when we are open to receiving Jesus as the bread of life, taking him into our life, we will become what we eat. So let's just take a moment as the worship team comes back up to the front to lead us into our final worship set. Let's just take a few moments just to thank the Lord for this food that we have received today. Lord, we thank you for all your good blessings to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who feeds us and sustains us by your flesh, by your body that was given for us on the cross, by your blood that was shed for us on the cross. By your wounds, we have been healed. We have been set free from the power of sin and death, and we have been brought into that place of life eternal. So, Lord, we just thank you for our time together in learning and growing and stretching and learning how to receive this bread of life from you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.